All right, welcome to the KBJ After the Show podcast.
Kevin's eyes look insane, but he's got new hair. Virginia is a witch, and she farts in her chair. Jason is a spaz who's got an old man's ass. Welcome to the After the Show podcast.
Hello and welcome. It is Wednesday here on the KBJ After the Show podcast.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah. What is going on? Yeah. You realize already through a Wednesday here and another weekend is on deck. Look at that, huh?
It happens so quick.
It does. Just flying by.
Hump day.
It's a flying by.
Hey, how's Panda been? Is his libido gone down, up, stay the same?
He still is a little frisky.
On hump day?
He would definitely, I think he would get it on every other day at least.
Okay. That's where he's set.
Oh, he'd definitely get it on every day.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, yes.
Still a horned up dude, huh?
Well, he's doing that testosterone. That hasn't stopped.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm giving him the injections now. He used to go to the place and get them from the doctor.
Okay.
But Nurse Virginia is administering. And
okay.
He told me last week, damn, you stuck me too hard.
Can you get in the role a little bit? Do a little role play in Nurse Virginia?
You would put on an outfit? Can I borrow Lana's outfit?
You do not want that outfit. I suggest getting your own nurse's outfit, honestly.
There's a lot of stains.
Yeah.
Oh, Lana, I mean.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there you probably don't want. Yeah. Okay, so he's still going after it.
Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah.
Libido is kicking.
Yeah. You sound like a defeated person. Yeah.
Well, I just have to balance because I'm not home, you know, living my best life. I still have to leave the house, and leaving the house for me creates this whole like panic thing where I'm like, okay, can't touch anything. Have to
do
wear a mask.
Do you get panicked? So when you go out, you get freaked out?
I do. I'm still very hypersensitive about anything I touch, mm-hmm. and around where I go and people I, you know, walk near. Yeah. I'm still pretty freaked out.
Okay. All right.
So then I have to come home and I have to like try to flip the switch into, oh, sexy time. It's not so easy for me. I'm kind of a head case.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Me and Kevin were texting about that yesterday. Both Kevins.
All of us.
Sinicky and Ralston.
Yes.
All of us.
Just, Kevin yeah. Square.
Yeah. All just jumping in on that conversation. Yeah, it's, you know, interesting to see. Strange times we're living in here. I'm spending a good bit of my day. I'm trying to read and watch as much of this stuff as I can just to understand it. Before, what did I ever know about the, you know, I was always germ sensitive and aware of that. But, you know, as far as like learning about pandemics and all these kind of things, I didn't know.
You said you watched a little bit of that Netflix special.
I watched the whole thing. Yeah, it's only one episode. It's, you know, maybe 40 minutes long top, something like that. It wasn't that long. Yeah, but I watch the whole thing. Every day, that's a lot of what I'm watching. Just so I want to hear everybody's opinion on it. And I got to tell you, I mean, I'm always, you don't know. Like one day I feel one way and then the next day I feel another way. And I don't, you know, there's just so much stuff that is out there. Just listening to people trying to figure it out. You don't really know. It's very confusing.
It is very confusing. And that's the problem. If you're just a person trying to navigate all this and you want agenda-free information mm-hmm. with no political affiliation, it is very hard to figure out what you're ingesting that is that.
As soon as you start hearing all, like, someone giving their personal opinion about shit, that's when you know you're not watching the news. Mm-hmm. You're watching an editorial piece.
And that's what makes it hard.
And that's fine. Just say, mm-hmm. this is an editorial piece.
Yeah, I'm carving away from any of the news outlets, not doing that, you know, not really watching. I'm watching other things that, at least on the surface of it, it's not somebody that's coming from a political party or a television network, which clearly have, you know, their agendas. I just was, you know, a lot of during the day when I was working and just checking stuff out, I would have Fox News on one and CNN on the other. And
they're directly
on the
like
two TVs.
And literally fighting with each other.
Well, no, to me, it's very fascinating just to watch the stories that they decide to cover, and you know, again, for you know, political affiliation, I'm an independent, and I don't side with either. So I just try to look at every side and make a good objective decision on, you know, what to decide for anybody. So I don't lean either right or left.
I think that's all of us.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Trying to just navigate the truth.
But as you watch, it is very interesting that, you know, one side will go, they'll pick up on stories that are either for or against one political party. You know, if you've got a Biden scandal that's out there, Fox News is going to spend half their broadcast day yesterday talking about that. If there's something that's negative for Trump, then CNN is going to spend a lot of time. And that is going to be their angle on that. And so I'm like, I'm not going to get anything that's going to tell me anything. Because I care about my own damn life, honestly. I'm like, okay.
And your family.
Yeah. I don't give a shit about all these guys and what's going on.
It's give me some stuff that has nothing to do with agenda.
Yeah.
I just want real, and I want to know how it will affect me and my family.
So, you know, I am, and I realize that even if you watch a Netflix, you know, Coronavirus Explained special, that, you know, there could be some taint on that. The one thing that I do kind of look on top of it, though, is I try to look at the dollar signs. I'm like, okay, where is there somebody financially benefiting from this story? And
who
from these,
paid for this documentary?
Yeah, so I do try to kind of like watch that stuff.
And who did pay for the Netflix one? Do we know?
I didn't see that, and it's tough. I mean, as I am trying to keep my eyes on that, but yeah, there's only so many hours in a day when you're still trying to do a show that's not completely dominated by coronavirus to fully understand what is going on and still try to come up with something entertaining for us to do outside of it.
Like Corona/Goofy. It's tough. It's a tough place. It's a tough
it
life.
Is.
Corona Goofy is hard.
It's hard to be goofy during a global pandemic.
Yeah. So, and really just the question I'm trying to drill in on is, what can I do and when? That really is it. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. One of the things that, you know, I've always done before is go to the gym. And like I said, before coronavirus, a pandemic, being germ conscious, I always try not to get to, I don't want to be a germaphobe, but I was getting close. And so, but I will probably always remain germ conscious. When I go to the gym, that would really kind of freak me out. There'd be times I'd run right in the house and I'd watch what I'm touching. This is before any of that stuff. I'd wash my hands right away.
Well, everybody's
all the way
sweating.
Up my arm.
Everybody's breathing hard. Like, there's a lot of germs from people in a gym.
Mm-hmm. The gym's gross.
The gym is gross.
Yeah.
Way before Corona.
They freaked me out before. And so, you know, that is kind of interesting. You know, luckily now I'm at a smaller, like, boutique gym. It's not, you know, one of the... Yeah.
Is it a Tequesta type gym?
It just means that they have like old people go in and stuff. Like
that
me.
Means if there's old people there, they have a towel around their neck and then they're naked with their balls hanging out.
Well, the thing is good, a lot of them are older and they don't sweat much. You know, because
they're not working hard.
I've done three. I'm done for the day.
Yeah. That's why I kind of like it, because there aren't a lot of people sweating this gym.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Yeah. So, you know, going back, I don't even know that though. And that's why, you know, boy, Peloton. Remember, things were kind of good and bad for them. They came out of that commercial. This is before the pandemic. And everybody laughed at it. And I thought, well, it's good publicity for them. And then Suits was telling me about how their stock prices dropped. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's crazy. So apparently people are hating on Peloton. Because remember that, you know, that wife or whatever that, oh, he got me Peloton. And everybody had an opinion about
that. Right, right. You shouldn't be getting that as a gift for your wife.
Yeah, it was around Christmas.
Telling her she's fat.
Yeah.
She's not fat.
The fake
anger from people. Oh, I can't believe this shit.
So that was Peloton at the end of the year. And now, since the pandemic, and it's a work from home workout thing, they're crushing it. Now their stock has gone up over 60% since mid-March. They're like Zoom and how they're growing and all these work from home. And they just had their largest ever class with 23,000 participants in one time. In this class, that's how many people had jumped in to do a Peloton class. So, I mean, they are crushing it. And when are people going to go back to gyms?
Well, these bikes are expensive, and you have to have a membership.
Yeah.
I know. I see two different people that I know in my personal life that have one, and they didn't have one before all this.
Well, what are gyms going to be like after this? How long before? Because even when things open up, you're still going to see, you'll have waves of people, and where are you set? I will go out before you do, Virginia.
Of course.
And I will be living my life way before you do, doing
that kind
of
stuff. I'll
be like
a hermit crab. I'm not going to see anybody till the end of June.
But even for me, I'm like, okay, when am I going to want to go back into a germy gym when I don't necessarily need to? In fact, looking at the numbers, I mean, this is pre-pandemic. The average exercise bike harbors 39 times more bacteria than a cafeteria tray.
39?
Typical free weights at a gym have 362 times more germs than a toilet seat.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, think about it.
I am.
Touching their butt.
Yeah.
The numbers are staggering.
And the treadmill you're running on averages 74 times more bacteria than a typical public bathroom faucet.
You're touching all the buttons.
So, you know, with all that, and now we're very, even after this passes, we will be very germ conscious. Even people who weren't, you'll be thinking about, oh, pandemics and COVIDs and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see as you talk about movie theaters and gyms, things like that, what will life look like after that's done? Because we may be doing a lot of virtual at home, online, working stuff. I know my buddy that has Busy Body Gyms to go. He said, we're crushing it. We can't stay.
He can't keep up.
And be like, hey, you may be very busy. You may just have landed in the right business at the right time. It's kind of like the way Zoom was.
Yeah, place, right time.
Zoom what? Went from 10 million to 200 million in a month?
Huge.
Yeah.
They're impressive numbers.
They are really, they really are impressive numbers. Candace sent an email and she said, I was wondering about Kevin's workout routine right now. I know you relied heavily on your trainer. Are you still working with him, virtually doing home workouts? Yeah, you know, and I was just thinking about when I was walking down the hall, where I'm set right now with doing the extra hour and just everything going on and trying to understand coronavirus, it feels very much like Kevin's sports show days. That's about what my life looks like. I am wall to wall, just, you know, I'm sleeping every minute of 8 hours and I still wake up tired. So it's like...
It's mentally exhausting.
It is mentally exhausting. And so, yeah, my workouts, and I knew that, I'm parking them just to do everything that I got to do to stay up with stuff. It's not going to happen now. But when we can, you know, bring it back and I don't have to even think about ever... I don't care about the coronavirus news. I'm not going to watch it. Who knows? Who cares? Then, yeah, I will probably start by going back to... Now, luckily, I've worked out with trainers for 10, 15 years. So I've got enough stuff, but yeah, I'm going to go into a push. I'm going to do a full body on body, do a lot of pull-ups, do a lot of push-ups, do air squats, do pistol squats. You can get all that stuff online and then just write it out every single day. The biggest part for me is I just needed the motivation to go to the level where it really hurt and I was like dragging my ass across the gym and crawling on the floor. I need someone to do that for me. I can't do it by myself.
If you put all your trainers on an island like Hunger Games,
yeah.
What fucker wins? Who wins this thing?
All the trainers you've ever had.
Ever.
Yeah. And what is the criteria? Is it just battling hand to hand? Is it like lifestyle skills? What are they doing?
Hunger Games style, brother. Oh, yeah. The last man standing or woman.
I don't know. I've had some really good
Who's
ones.
Who's the toughest SOB in the game when it comes to your...
I think I got somebody in mind, but you don't know any of my trainers, so...
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, but you do have an answer.
That Kevin one you have is tough.
Yeah, Kev, he probably would be the one that I'm thinking of probably would do it.
That's who I would put my money on.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Who are the guys that bum-rushed Jay Bird in the back office?
That was Kevin.
When we pranked him.
Yeah, that was Kev.
Yeah, I mean, they held me down, they tackled me, and you're always like, why did you get so scared? I got fucking tackled in the hallway. I don't know who these guys were.
Kev's in fantastic shape, and yeah, he's, you know, he's had to, I always look, he's had a kind of background, too, where he's had to push through stuff. He's had to grind, you know? He's had to make it. Yeah.
That's why I would put him in there.
Yeah.
The grinders, baby.
Dude looks good, too, in a shirtless selfie.
He does, yeah. And I think some other trainers, their backgrounds are too soft.
He's a man that grew up hard.
Yeah, he's seen it. You know, he's seen it. He's been in it, so.
That's how I feel about a therapist. If you're going to sit down and talk to somebody, I want someone who's gone through the fucking fire, baby. That's got a little grit to him. How's someone that's never been through anything going to give you advice on some shit?
I don't know.
All right.
You pose some interesting questions over there. I don't have the answers, but it's fun to think about.
People who grind and come through the fire, I trust those people.
No, I think it's important. I think it's good for all of us. Some people are saying, hey, look, I mean, if you're looking for the odd positives of this whole thing, that, you know, we as a society have been really soft. You know, we haven't really gone through what some of the other generations before us have gone through. We haven't had a World War II. We haven't had Spanish flu. We haven't had some of those kind of things. We've really been. What's the scariest thing that we've had?
Coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean, you had what happened on 9/11. If you lived in New York City, that's impacting you around that area. But I mean, you know, that was, you know, 3,000 people died in that. But I mean, what's the thing that impacted all of American society where you're like, okay, I got to get a little bit tougher here, you know, checking me out of my soft existence. And I don't even know if we're even there. But, you know, some people are like going, I think some Americans needed a little challenge in their life. Yeah, Candace also had asked here, Jaybird, how's the treadmill action going?
It's going okay.
Yeah.
That means he hasn't been on it.
It's weird. Some days some weeks are better than others. I'll go do it twice a week, and then, yeah, I did it twice last week. Haven't done it this week yet.
Okay. I feel like I'm hopefully, if I can get the schedule, that I'm actually starting to get the desire to be like, yeah, I think I come on work out a little bit. So, but it's I'm not there yet. Getting there. Maybe soon.
Do you have anything at home you can use?
Yeah, I got some dumbbell kind of like things that I can do. I got the pull-up bar and I got the push-up thing, weighted ball, those kind of things. Yeah, honestly, all you need. I'm good. Jump rope. Fantastic. Ellie here from Riviera Beach said, hey, a big fan of Jaybird's tasting challenges. Makes me super nervous every time because I want him to continue his impressive winning streak. His palate is amazing. While stuck at home, my quarantine team and I have been doing taste test Tuesdays.
Oh.
So far, we've done blind taste tests for peanut butter, hot sauce, lagers, tequila, gin, and second-tier fast food chain cheeseburgers from Sonic, DQ, and Culver's.
Ooh.
What should we do next? What are your thoughts, Jaybird?
I love it. You guys can do sauces from different fast food places.
Okay.
You could do tacos coming up on Cinco de Mayo.
Keep it easy. Do cereals.
Yeah.
There's a lot you could do.
Are cereals tough?
Not for me, no.
I wouldn't think they would because they have different texture and taste,
they're
right?
Pretty easy flavors. To tell, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would... what's impressive with you is when you do like generic sodas and things like that, it's like people just can't believe it.
That rigatoni taste test because Panda and Mags, rigatoni is their favorite. And so we bought all the different brands of rigatoni and did a whole rigatoni taste testing. That was fun.
Do you know who loves rigatoni?
Who?
Riggy Ralston.
Yeah.
Riggy Tony.
Yeah, I could get my own little thing there. I got an email here from Eric. He said, what up? Something I was thinking about was Jaybird should do a bracket on which fast food place has the top dessert on their menu. You got McDonald's with their cookies and sundae, Bud's Brownies, BK's Hershey Pie, Wendy's Frosty. The list goes on. Just curious what you guys and the people think. To me, all that kind of stuff... I used to love the Dairy Queen Blizzard.
Yes.
That would be one of my tops that I would always go for. The Wendy's Frosty was big on my list. I love that.
With the French fries in it. So good.
Mm-hmm. Never had the BK Hershey Pie. McDonald's, even when I was a fat kid, didn't overly impress me a ton. The cookies I didn't love. And I remember they had the hot pies were okay. They weren't bad. And they would do like the cone, which, you know, it was all right. But it wasn't above and beyond. I do know on the Bud's Brownies, I did not partake, but they Philip brought that out for my daughter's 21st birthday. And man, oh man, they were going. I mean, we had booze, and the brownies might have been more popular than some of the booze. Which
wow.
I'm like,
they're really good brownies.
People were losing their minds.
I don't think
brownies.
I've had the Bud's Brownie.
They are really good. I finally had them. They're amazing.
Yeah, the conversation on them, I really was. Like, Philip, if you had had a camera, he could have done a commercial.
I need to do the brownie.
And they were legit.
Everybody in my house loves brownies. Mags and Panda are always making brownies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was pretty impressive to look around. I'm like going, are you guys getting paid? What's going on here? And they're like, oh, these brownies are so good. Stacy has a thought for the one note name that tune. Maybe doing different decades, 70s, 80s, etc. See if that changes up the dynamics and the winners. Yeah, it's really impressive how great Jaybird's been doing on that. I'm really surprised that he's crushing that game the way he is. I didn't think he was so dialed into some of the modern music, but bam, changed my tune on that.
What can I say? I'd like to do an 80s or 70s version.
Yeah, 80s would be fun to do. I would like to try that. I went through, I haven't listened to 80s for a while, and we put that on over the weekend on the playlist. And man, the 80s, they had some good music in the 80s. to me, what is still impressive with it is there was just how much diversity there was.
There was a lot, even on the radio. Yeah. I remember back when I was a kid, you would hear like a regular pop song and then a rap song come on.
Yeah. It was just like all over the place, and you would like take it and listen to it. Now everything got so segregated. All your hip hop's on one channel, and anything that sounds like this is on a WRMF. Anything that's too poppy is on another station. So, yeah, that's what I loved about the 80s. You had it all there. And I remember when 80s started to fizzle, 80s did go through a downturn because they kept going to the same artists, but those artists were getting older. I remember like they kept trying to trudge out Phil Collins songs. And I was younger, and you're like going, gosh, this guy's so old and lame. But they
poor
weren't.
Phil.
And then that's when they had the purging, and you had, it was when the Pearl Jams and everything was out. Because I remember I worked for, that's when I was doing promotions in New York for Z100, and they had always been a pop station, and they flipped and went basically alternative because the pop stuff wasn't working at that time. And that was 93, 94.
Yep, that's when I was in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Our classic rock station flipped alternative rock.
Yeah, yeah, because that really was what Top 40 was. And then, but as that fizzled out, then Z100 flipped back and started playing the pop stuff again.
Okay, it's a classic rock station. ZZ Top Legs is coming on. I want to hear you sell it to the audience like you would back in the day.
What was my name?
You had a fake.
I think I did.
Radio.
I think it was Big V or no? What
Big
was
V.
I?
Big V.
I would think it's just got a big vagina.
Yeah. Big V.
I can't remember. Oh. I think I was. Oh, I have my tape. I have tapes from when I was a classic rock DJ.
I want to hear something from Big V right now. You got ZZ Top coming on. It's the new song.
Oh, yeah, Baton Rouge. This one's hot and heavy just for you. It's a little ZZ Top on your Sunday afternoon on 100.7. The Tiger.
Oh, yeah. Nailed it.
Yeah. I got legs running all the way up into my Big V.
Yeah, you didn't drop your name. That's such a, you got to sell that.
There you go. Oh,
I love it.
I'll bring in the tape if you want to hear it. It's probably pretty funny.
Not necessary.
All right. I'll go fuck myself.
I'm just kidding. I'd love to hear it.
No.
I would. I'd love to hear it.
I'm leaving it at home.
No.
Mm-hmm. We got Melanie here said, hey, loved your feel-good movie list. Can you guys give the listeners your go-to song to get out of a mood funk that works every time? Didn't we do a playlist a couple weeks ago? I thought it was like your songs.
Happy.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's find where that is so you can check that out, Melanie. Because, yeah, cause I remember I had like Soul Meets Body by Death Cab for Cutie and songs that just kind of like, yeah, they're poppy. Yeah, pick me up. So, yeah, we did a whole little list on that. You got to find that. Because that was a fun little conversation. We have Nick here who checked out the Goonies reunion.
Oh, how
on
was
YouTube.
It? I wanted to watch it yesterday.
Yeah, he said it's called Reunited Apart. It's hosted by Josh Gad, the voice of Olaf in Frozen. He gets old cast back together through Zoom, and they discuss their movies and TV shows for charity. The one I watched was the entire Goonies cast, including Steven Spielberg and even Cyndi Lauper. They recreated scenes, share behind-the-scene tidbits, and even talked about a sequel. It was great. Corey Feldman was present, and it wasn't even awkward like he usually makes things.
Oh.
Anyway, just thought you'd enjoy it. Thanks for getting us through these crazy times.
So spot on. Corey Feldman makes shit really awkward.
Yes.
I like the story they said Steven Spielberg told about how, you know, it was him and one of the other producers, and after months and months and months of, like, working with kids, which I guess was, you know, taxing, on top of doing a movie, you're doing a movie with a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And Spielberg, like, as soon as the movie wrapped, I guess one of the producers went to, like, his vacation villa somewhere. And so the guy was, like, so excited to have some peace and quiet. So Steven Spielberg put all the kids from the cast on a plane and sent them to that guy's house for a week vacation.
No
way, really?
Wherever
he had gone. The guy opens
Smart.
The door, and it's all these kids from the cast that Spielberg paid to send there. I'm like, that's funny.
That is pretty funny.
That's a great prank.
And Nick also said, Jaybird, you should look up the Crooked Man from the Conjuring movie. Sounds like what you got going on your stairs is horrifying.
Yeah, I know about that greatly.
Okay. Yeah, you said you have a shadowy figure that's going up down the stairs?
Yeah, we're talking about that today on the Weird and Whatever.
Is he exercising, do you think?
It don't look like he's exercising. No, it's actually really freaky. I would love for you guys to see it. I know some, I keep on getting t- text messages and emails. People don't believe me that I'm lying about this. I'm telling y'all right now, there is some bullshit going on in my place. There really is.
That'd be fascinating, yeah.
This seems different than what was in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get with Vicky. Just under Virginia law, Vicky's not allowed to come over because under Virginia law.
That's right. Yeah.
You can Zoom, Vicky.
No, she needs to be there to, you know, experience what the fuck's going on.
Can you Zoom in spirits?
Great question, Kevin. We're to cover that today in the Weird One Ever podcast.
Okay.
Do you want to? We can Zoom you in if you want to.
What time are you doing it?
At 3, maybe get the perspective from Kevin Ralston about the UFO footage.
Yeah, I might be able to do that.
That's a no.
No, it's not. I have a call at 1:30 today with somebody, and so I have to give that my full attention. But if I have my work going and I don't have anybody else, I got to talk to our PD too. I'll do it. I seriously will. 3. Yeah, text me up. I'd love to do it. I just I always watch my commitments because I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And then
double booked.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yes, if I am free at 3.
Yeah, I am not on acid. Just to let people know, I'm not on drugs. I'm really not. I know that's hard to believe.
What?
I sound like I'm tripping. I'm not.
Yeah, Jaybird must be on permanent acid. Oh, okay. We got a couple other comments here. Jaybird looking old AF. Another shitty story from Bird. All right. Okay. All right. Cool.
Another shitty story from Bird. You know what? Don't read the comments.
Sometimes you kind of have to, though, because some of them, like 60% of them, are dicks.
Is that what the ratio is?
It's like 30% are dicks and 70% are awesome.
Yeah, but I'm going to read the comments and I'm only going to focus on the 30% dickage, so it's not worth
it. No, the 70%, your number's a little different. I would say 80% dicky to you.
Let me see. Got an email here about best documentaries from Twitter, Sarah. She said, I love a good documentary. Can you share some that you watched recently that were good? I've already watched McMillions, which was fascinating.
Okay, I trust her judgment. I'm getting a lot of comments about McMillions, Kev. It's a slow burn in the beginning,
okay,
but it's worth the ride.
That's HBO, right?
Yeah, that's that Monopoly McDonald's game.
All right, okay. Okay, very cool. She said, I did Tiger King, which I couldn't be more obsessed with. Don't Fuck with Cats and The Pharmacist is what she's got. Yeah, as far as documentaries, the one that I've talked way too much about already was the Operation Odessa that was mafia stuff, cartel. I thought was one floating around here. Did somebody send one to me, another one to check out that's kind of like mafia cartel stuff? I can't remember that.
It sounds familiar, but it's all kind of bleeding together.
Yeah. Other than the ones you've watched, I can't really think of any. I watched the Coronavirus Explained yesterday.
There's great ones on HBO. There are some great documentaries on HBO. That one, the one you would love, Virginia, that chick that was, she was like the female Steve Jobs, and she lied.
Oh,
I forget her name.
Yes.
She always wore the same outfit. You would love that documentary.
Oh, okay. I think I've seen a little bit of the headlines on that. She's in big time trouble right now, right?
Big time trouble. Yeah. She loved Steve Jobs. Kevin, okay. You would find that documentary fascinating.
Okay. Yeah, I need to track that down because I think I would like that. The Movies That Made Us, if you haven't done that, that is about a couple different movies, including Home Alone, which is fascinating, and Die Hard.
They're very light. They just, you watch them, yeah. And you're like, it's nothing
light,
heavy.
Easy. Yes. Yeah, they're good. I haven't gotten into it yet, but I have it on my list. That Crip Camp that the Obamas came out with, looks like it could be interesting. It looks like it's maybe smarter than I should be, though. You ever see that?
Yeah.
Where you're like, yeah,
I can't. This is too big.
It might expand the levels of just how smart I want to be in these in this era.
Some documentaries are just too big.
Yeah, it looks like it's maybe one of those. So,
if you like cooking stuff, I love the documentary on Netflix, 42 Grams. It's a fascinating peek into that whole world and private chefs and then going for Michelin stars and how that whole process plays out. You follow this guy and his dream, and it's really good.
Okay.
Me and Kevin.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes, bitch. So why don't you shut the fuck up?
You got me. Got the Rotten Tomatoes score. You're right. Would I like that?
I think you might. It's fascinating because I didn't understand. Like, there's a whole, like, subculture of these chefs that don't have a restaurant that open up a restaurant in their house. And then they have all these randoms come in their house and they feed them. So that's what this guy was doing.
Is that legal?
I don't think it is, but it's a whole thing. And then from that, he got back into restaurant. And then he went for Michelin stars. And it's just, it is fascinating to watch the grind and to watch how meticulous and how just smart. And the whole process, I loved it. Also, the documentary about Alinea in Chicago, that restaurant, that's fascinating as well.
Okay.
I like those cooking shows, though. That's me.
I ask about the, because a year and a half or 2 years ago, I was really thinking about getting into the food truck game. I really was. Me and my dad talked about it. There just are so many rules, and that's why I was shocked when you're talking about all these food trucks going into neighborhoods and just cooking food for people. The way people explain it to me, you have to have a permit, and if you're there and something happens, you can get sued, and there goes your truck. I mean, it's a lot of red tape you got to go through.
Yeah, I think that, and you're also, you know, subject to random inspection, and you have to have health code, like, stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't be the one on the truck.
No, you couldn't be, because it's a whole thing. Yeah, you have to take courses and all that. You need, like, somebody who knows that business. But I could see you...
I'd love a food truck.
...funding a food truck and then splitting it with the guy that's doing all the work.
Three dreams I have. Food truck, build a wiffle ball field that's awesome, chocolate river.
Gotta have goals, man.
Three wishes, Kevin.
If we ever win the lottery.
Mm-hmm. The Out for Blood is the documentary Wannabe Steve Jobs Chick.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's called Out for Blood on HBO?
Yeah, it didn't say where, it just said Out for Blood. Elizabeth Holmes?
Yes, Elizabeth Holmes. I found her very attractive. I think it's the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
She did this a lot. She talks like this. If you listen to the documentary, they think that she was putting this kind of voice on.
On purpose.
On purpose.
She would drop her voice down.
But she would talk just like this. It was bizarre, man.
I think she's crazy. If you look in the eyes, bitch got crazy eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And Nurse Schmidt said The Keepers. That's another one that's on Netflix. I think it's a crime drama. Documentary that you can check out. And text in, somebody said that the Crip Camp is very good, so check that out.
If you like the murder stuff, the Ted Bundy and all that, I mean, they have a lot of specific serial killer documentaries on Netflix, if that's kind of your thing. I highly recommend don't watch it before bed.
Probably a good idea, yeah.
Don't watch it before, I don't know.
Nice to watch it. Yeah, you know what?
Astra sent this in, said that I see that Kev likes Ozark, but I don't know. The first season was slow for me, so I didn't continue with 2 and 3. Yeah, I mean, there are just some shows. I'll tell people, too. That's why when you get any kind of recommendation, they're just that you're not in that genre. That's why I always start with saying, if you like ... then you should like this.
Do you get scathing emails on sometimes you're talking about just something you're interested in and someone happens to maybe check it out?
Yeah.
And then you get an email back. You fucking suck, Kevin. The worst shit. If I get one more email about Camille's Pizza of people who don't kiss my Italian ass, then don't go.
Yeah.
I love that place. And they keep on saying I only like it because I grew up in that neighborhood, Virginia. That's not true. They got a good pie.
But it is a nostalgic pie for you, and that makes you love it even more.
I don't think that's the case, because there's other restaurants I go to from when I was a kid, and they suck. They're not good.
All right. I see you're fired up, so I won't argue with you. But nostalgia tastes good. If you like it, if it's yummy, the added nostalgia makes it 23% tastier.
That's such a bullshit Virginia stat.
Yeah.
Virginia law?
Virginia law.
Virginia law.
She said, I heard you talking about Money Heist. Yes, the first two seasons were okay, I thought, but don't stop there. 3 and 4 is a lot better. I think you will love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Maybe. I talked about that on the regular show a little bit earlier. I've done season 1, and I really liked how it wrapped up, and I almost felt like, I feel like I've had enough. It's almost like you ever sit down, Virginia, and you have a meal, and you're like, that meal was good, but I think I've had enough. It was good. I just don't feel like I need to keep eating.
That happens to me with movies sometimes. I'll be watching a movie, the first 30 minutes is awesome, and then something will happen, and I start to lose my interest, and then something else will happen. I'm like, I'm out.
You're allowed to jump off stuff, and that's why if you pull up my Netflix, it says, continue watching, and there's a bunch of stuff that I started that I don't want to finish.
Yeah.
I stopped for a reason. Outer Banks, now I do want to get back into that. I can't wait to go home and get back into that. That was fun last night. I just watched one episode. Already they got me.
I'll watch Outer Banks, but you're on thin ice, Sinicky, because I've watched a few things you've suggested, and it was a shit storm.
And also, she said, loving every bit of the regular in the ATS during the pandemic. I work from home way early, so this works out perfect for me. So, cool. Glad that's working out. That's why we're here and why we're putting in the extra time.
There's rumors we might be going from 6 to noon now. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Did you see my face?
Virginia. The blood just drained from her face.
I'm barely hanging on, bruh.
And if you need a laugh, maybe go back in time to the old Cheech and Chong. Kim said, I was just watching Still Smoking. I don't smoke, but needed entertainment. And holy hell, man, I saw this skit. I about peed. It's a wrestling bit skit from, I don't know, there's the still shot of it, but checking out the old Cheech and Chong.
Okay.
You like that, she said, maybe go back.
You know what I like to do with the people? We talked a little bit about Kev. I've never done it before, so I don't know how to do it, but I want to do like a watching party with KVJ Nation with some of our KVJ horror movies. That'd be fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that?
Yeah, you can. There's a way to watch a movie with an audience, and y'all can...
I think what it is, you can do the room on Zoom, and then I've seen that where we were trying that out with the karaoke where you play it on one laptop, and then you can put that as the center focus.
There's a feature on Netflix, too, mm-hmm. I think. Where you watch with friends.
I would love to do it. That'd be fun.
Yeah. But we don't have the movies on Netflix. We have them on YouTube. But you'd be able to do it, I think, through Zoom.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fun. And I thought I saw something on Facebook, too. They're always talking about a watch party. So I wonder if there's something with that as well. Make it even easier. Mm. We'll look into it.
Yeah, they got different stuff to check out. Facebook Watch is one thing they do. In fact, I know they're doing a virtual graduation that Oprah is going to be, you know, heading up and...
For okay, who? For just everybody?
It is, yeah, I think so. It's hashtag graduation 2020. Facebook and Instagram celebrate the class of 2020. It's going to be on Facebook Watch. She's going to be on there. Jennifer Garner, Miley Cyrus is singing The Climb. So it's May 15th.
I can hear the beginning. Hello, seniors!
Yes.
I'd be like, click. No, I can't.
Too much, Oprah.
If you're not in the class of 2020 or directly have somebody in it.
And people are asking for inspirational, not political Oprah. So.
Oh, yeah. She's another one that will...
Yeah.
Become divisive with some.
There you go. So that's...
I'm always shocked when Virginia finds out a certain celebrity's political.
When you told me that Jimmy Kimmel was going political, I was like, really?
Jimmy.
I haven't watched him in a while. But then the other night when I was up worried about Mags and freaking out and I couldn't fall back asleep, Jimmy Kimmel was on in the background and I couldn't believe how political he was. I was like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's been political for a minute now.
He is ranting.
Yeah.
I, you know, when I watch that stuff, and like I said, I'm independent and I'm not on either
right.
side.
I don't want to hear either side.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to hear anybody ranting.
Well, you know what I like, when they make fun of the buffoonery of, you know, the candidates, whether it be Biden or Trump or things like that, The Daily Show had something that was funny where they were, you know, doing all the things that, you know, Trump has mispronounced in all of his press conferences and, you know, kind of doing the closed captioning underneath it so you can understand what he's really trying to say.
A flub's a flub, no matter what political party.
And that was funny. It's just when it feels like there's some kind of animosity and they got an axe to grind, that's where I stop finding it funny. I'm like...
funny.
No, that I don't like. That it's like, you know, you don't have to do that. I don't mind when you make fun of all these guys, and I don't take anything personally.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, independent, whatever.
Yeah.
If you have a flub,
if it's funny,
and it's
funny, yeah.
If you fart
you should be able
on
to.
A live mic,
yeah,
you should
get
be able
upset.
To make fun of anybody on that.
Yeah.
I agreed with that.
Right, funny is funny, but yeah, then it's like then when you're just going, okay.
But
right.
We can't even, I mean, it's... We could do that, but it's not even worth it. It's not worth it.
Well, that's where we should be set that way. We should be, hey, we should be able to poke fun at anybody else's mistake, kind of like we do in here. That's where the world should be set.
Well, I just, that one bit I always bring up where we were talking about what Trump puts steak or ketchup on his steak. And when you brought it up, I'm just thinking over here, this is a ketchup bit. Because I know she hates ketchup. I would put ketchup on
a
steak.
I do hate ketchup.
And like I've said before, I always call a Democrat and a Republican on the same segment. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
And both of them yelling about different things.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, to me, the political name or party is interchangeable. I don't really even care. It could be anybody, but it's just the concept of it is funny. Yeah. Somebody mispronounces something, it's funny. Somebody tells a guy to stand up and they're in a wheelchair, that's funny.
Somebody falls.
You know, I mean, those are the kind of things. It's like, you know, we got to be able to still laugh at that stuff without people getting upset.
Who fell off the back of the stage? That was funny. Is that Bob Dole?
So many people have fallen. A lot of people have fallen. There's been a lot of spills.
Just in life, that just needs to always be funny and people not get upset.
I need to go look up falling political videos. That makes me laugh.
Just look up political flubs from the past up to now. There is some funny shit.
Yeah.
Who is the one that he corrected the kid for spelling potato and he was wrong?
Al Gore?
That was vice president under George W. Bush, the guy from Indiana.
I can't think of his name.
I can see his face, and I'm just drawing a blank.
But he stops the kid. Oh, no. This is how you spell potato. And he was wrong.
Yeah. He put like an E on it.
Taking pictures. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't at the time. When I saw that clip, I didn't know who it was, what political party they were with.
You just knew it was funny because he put an E on potato.
Well, because he corrected the kid.
It was Dan Quayle.
Dan Quayle.
Okay.
Yeah. That's who it was.
That's awesome.
And I think, was it Biden the one who said, all right, stand up? And the guy was in the wheelchair.
Stand up, Chuck.
Oh, my God.
He can't.
Oh, my gosh.
He gave his legs for our country.
You just want to run and crawl into a hole.
No, good.
But they don't. They just shake it off and keep talking. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Somebody did text in and said, yeah, watch party. Yes, Bird, when you guys go live, I've done a watch party of you guys, so we'd be able to do that. So.
Watch party?
Do you like that idea, watching the horror movies together?
Sure, I got time.
All right, that didn't sound that reassuring. Sure, I got time. You kind of sound like Mags.
You got some weak commitments from both of us here today.
Everybody's wishy-washy.
Yeah, fuck it. Denny's mean you're going to watch them together.
There you go. All right. Well, yes, on Friday, 5 o'clock, the virtual cocktail hour, we're going to be back on Facebook. We will hopefully see you there then and back here tomorrow. You guys enjoy your Wednesday. Goodbye.